Hello, fellow adventurers. I'm Erica, and welcome to the Adventure On podcast, a place where we share stories of self-discovery and lessons learned both on and off the trail. Welcome back, everyone. This week, I have one of my closest friends, Katie, here with me. We've known each other for over a decade.
Yeah.
Forever. And we've been through a lot together, so I'm super excited for her to share her story all about how she's built a healthy relationship with herself and the people in her life and the great outdoors. So, welcome, Katie.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
So, I'm a massage therapist. I'm a coach. I am a connection coach, specifically. As far as the outdoors go, I mean, I wasn't super into the outdoors before I met my husband. So that's kind of like that relationship with the outdoors kind of grew with my relationship with him too. So I want to get into that a little bit today.
Yeah. So, okay. You weren't always into the outdoors. Tell me how you grew up. Like, what was that like?
So, I mean, I grew up on a farm, so there was a lot of...
I mean, that's kind of outdoorsy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess so. But so when I was younger, I mean, I spent a lot of time on the farm doing all the ranch stuff. And then as I got older, and so we actually moved from that area when I was about 5, my parents got divorced. And so I moved to Orem with my mom at that point, and there wasn't a ton of outdoor stuff we could do in Orem. I mean, there is, obviously, Utah everywhere. But like being a 5-year-old, I would like ride bikes and do stuff with my friends, but it wasn't a ton of outdoor stuff. Unless we, like, went camping with family or something. And so it really wasn't until I was around 12 when I started snowboarding. And that was the main thing that I did outdoors. So during the summer, I wouldn't really do anything. I'd hang out with my friends, like, walk around the neighborhood, stuff like that. But I really wouldn't get outside.
And you started snowboarding with your brothers?
So I started snowboarding with a friend who... So we just went for her 12th birthday, and her dad taught us how to snowboard.
That's a rad 12th birthday.
Yeah, right? So yeah, I'd go snowboarding with her a lot. And so I got my brothers into it. And then I started going with them after that point. But it really wasn't until I was well into adulthood that I started like hiking and going outside on a regular basis.
What is it that brought you to that point? Like, how did you go from not really doing anything outside to getting into that again?
So, I mean, my husband, Kyle, is super into the outdoors. He's always been a runner. He ran track for UVU. He used to hike the Y in Provo, which is like switchbacks and a crazy mountain. He would like run up that to
train. Of course he did.
To train. Yeah, of course. To train for track. And so, I mean, when we first started dating, I had just had knee surgery. And so we started really slow, and we like would go on short hikes, but then I fell in love with it. And it was then when I started dealing with a bunch of mental health issues and found out that I had anxiety and PTSD and all the things that I was dealing with at that time. And going outside was a huge step forward in that, and like just a coping mechanism that I didn't have access to before, or I didn't think I had access to before.
Oh yeah. Going outside is a game changer when it comes to mental health. And I want to dive into that. But before we go there, you mentioned having knee surgery, and I know that accident and what happened, and it wasn't just like a simple knee surgery. It was pretty extreme. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was longboarding down a canyon, and I tore my knee, my whole knee, basically. It was holding on by one tendon, and there are four tendons in your knee.
There's a number of them.
There's a lot of tendons, and only one was hanging on still. And I tore my meniscus at the same time. So it was like a crazy recovery. However, I took like 6 months off of doing everything. I couldn't snowboard. I haven't longboarded since, honestly.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't either.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
So yeah, I took a long time to heal, and I did physical therapy. And then I actually went into massage school at the tail end of that. And so I got a lot of massages too, which really helped the recovery process. And I really haven't had any issues with it until this year. I've started getting some like arthritis symptoms in it. And it's been almost 9 years now. So,
I mean, that's pretty impressive that your knee was able to undergo such a huge trauma.
Yeah.
And then pretty much repair itself until now.
Right. And a lot of that is like inflammation from trauma and anxiety that people don't really think about. The inflammation that it brings to your body.
Like emotional trauma and anxiety. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, a lot of people who deal with those things deal with inflammation, which I know because I'm a massage therapist and I deal with people who have been through trauma in my massage field.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, a lot of the inflammation in my knee is directly related to stress and anxiety that I deal with emotionally.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's so interesting. I mean, obviously, I know there's like a correlation between how anxiety, depression, trauma, all that stuff physically manifests itself. But I don't think I knew the specifics of how it basically affected the human body, just that it did. Like, I know my anxiety makes me sweaty and feel nauseous. I don't think I knew that it impacted my joints and my muscles and my body in that way.
Right. Yeah. If you think of someone who has anxiety and they have like IBS or like stomach stuff is what you think about usually.
Yeah.
And like you feel nauseous and you feel those things, but it's actually the inflammation that your body's creating, because when your body's telling you something's wrong, it wants to fix it. And so the thing that makes the most sense to that, instead of fixing like your brain, mm-hmm. is fixing something physical. And so it'll just attach itself to something physical. And if you've had trauma in your body, such as my knee, then your brain's like, oh, we have to fix something. And it must be this, because there was something going on here at one point.
Oh, so interesting. Okay, so you have this huge accident with your knee. And did that kind of wake you up to start taking care of yourself? I know it took you a while after that to address the mental health component, but to really start to see that there was something else going on.
Yes, absolutely. So I've always said that was my turning point, was when I had my knee surgery, because I was overweight. I was unhappy. I spent most of the time in my bed. If I wasn't outside, I was like depressed in my bed. And I would do like yoga and go to the gym, but I wasn't actually addressing anything. I was masking all of these things that I was going through with food and quote unquote working out, but really I would just go to the gym for hours and hours and then binge eat when I got home.
Mm.
And so it really made me, and I mean, I was giving myself an excuse to eat all of this food because I was working out, right? So when I had my knee surgery, I was like, oh, I can't work out anymore. So now I need to watch what I eat. And then I started at the tail end of all of that, I started getting IBS symptoms. And so then I had to address those with doctors and no one could find an answer. And then I started therapy. And then finally I had answers to like why I was having all of these physical symptoms because of these emotional things that I hadn't dealt with my whole life.
Wow. Okay. So let's dive into that, because you've been in therapy for a few years now.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've definitely seen a massive shift in your life, like who you are as a person, a friend, a partner, just an overall individual. It's been an incredible shift. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even our journey alone
is
like huge in like how far both of us have come, I think. Because do you care if I talk about this?
No, go for it.
Okay. So we met through my cousin who was an addict, got Erica into addiction. And I don't want to like place blame anywhere, obviously. Yeah. But for a long time, I was like, oh, I shouldn't be friends with her because of this stuff that happened with my family. And it's just a weird relationship. And it's all of these things. When in reality, it was my own shit that I was bringing. And it was like, I don't trust girls. And I don't think that girls are, I don't know, I shouldn't have a relationship with girls because of all of these things. And so I was like unconsciously pushing away all of these people who were really good for me. And I mean, so Erica was like in a good place and she was, I mean, better than I was, I think, where she was in recovery and she was doing all these good things for herself. And it was really hard for me to come in and be like a broken person and then like have these healthy relationships and have like friends. I didn't think I deserved it. I didn't think that I was like worthy of any of these things. And so that's a lot of what I worked through in therapy, was like knowing that I am worthy and I can have friends and I have all these things. And so Erica and I probably didn't talk for like 3 years.
Yeah, something. Maybe about something like that.
Yeah. And it was like, that was when I started going to therapy and she met John in that time and, or I guess started dating him. She knew him before, but then I think we both healed ourselves and then we came together and we had like a 3 or 4 hour conversation in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Where both of our partners are texting us like, are you alive? Did she kill you?
you pointed out something that I think is really important, because I don't know, myself included in this, if a lot of people realize that component of self-esteem and self-worth and how it affects everything in our lives, right? I know when I was in those dark places, I definitely didn't put that together with why all of these things were happening in my external life. It wasn't, I don't believe I'm worthy of this, and so I'm consciously pushing these people away from me. It's this internal battle that I didn't even know I was fighting, and it's just manifesting itself out here.
Right.
And being able to, I mean, you know, I'm a huge, huge advocate for therapy. I think that mental health and therapy should be something that we talk about when we're kids and we talk about our emotions. And I think that would change a lot of problems in the world. But as an adult, being able to be humble enough and say, something's not right, like, I need help.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's huge. I don't think a lot of people, like you said, it's not a conscious thing. You're not consciously pushing people away.
Mm-hmm.
It's all at an unconscious level where you're like, I don't deserve this because of something that happened in my childhood or because of my relationship with my mom or whatever it may be. But it's like, it's not a conscious decision. It's something that you're self-sabotaging because of these unconscious beliefs that you have.
I always come back to this. I don't know if someone said it to me or where I learned this, but this really sticks out to me, is that we manifest in our lives what we believe to be true, whether we're recognizing that or not, whether we're conscious and aware of it or not. Like, if I truly believe that I'm unworthy of something, then that's what's going to happen in my life. And I'm going to push all these people away and create this world where I'm alone because I don't believe that I deserve anything different than that. And it's hard to be in that place. So yeah. How did you, I mean, I know you touched on, you started going to therapy and all that. What shifted? What changed for you in that process?
That is an excellent question. So I think the biggest thing was just realizing that it was an unconscious thing that I was doing to myself, and that I was worthy, and that I was all of these things. And I think the biggest shift that happened, my biggest aha moment, was realizing that it was not my relationships. It wasn't the people externally that were doing things to me. It was me who was doing things to me. Mm. Where it was like, I had to shift my own self-awareness to be able to take responsibility for that and not play the victim anymore.
Yeah. Wow. That's powerful. And so, I mean, we've talked about that shift of your relationship with yourself, how that bled into this shift in relationship with the people in your life, like rekindling the relationship that we had and working on navigating that relationship with your husband. How has this bled into the outdoors? Because I feel like, I mean, and you posted something the other day about snowboarding on your page. I was like, this is so perfect. I need to have her talk about this on the podcast, because you made that metaphor and analogy of the power that getting outside has and how it can impact our lives, our self-worth, how we approach life and situations. And so I want to hear more about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, how it's bled into the outdoors. Honestly, I think the outdoors is all about connection. So mm-hmm. you're with someone on like a long hike, or you're with someone snowboarding or whatever you're doing, and you're not lost in a cell phone and on social media and on all these things that are terrible for our mental health.
Oh, totally.
But you're having one-on-one genuine connection with someone. And we've talked about how the body like keeps your emotions and holds on to all that stuff for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is awesome. It's a coping mechanism to push everything down and let your muscles take care of it
yeah.
for you. However, when you're out like exercising and working those muscles, some shit comes up and then you have to process that in some way. And it might not be you like crying on the floor, but it's like, oh, this memory just popped up and I want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think like I know more about my friends who I hike with than anyone else, because you just
oh, yeah.
end up talking about life in general.
I know more about people that I've spent time with on the trail than I do anybody else in my life. Like, it's raw and it's vulnerable. And again, like, I don't think I made that connection that the physical movement that your body is enduring and going through when you're hiking is helping you process those maybe subconscious, unconscious emotions and experiences that you typically don't talk about.
Exactly. Definitely. And I think, so the other side of that, nature has so much to teach us, because nature is raw and unfiltered and mm. it doesn't give a shit what anyone thinks. And so then if we're looking at nature, we can see there's so many, I don't know, so many life lessons in nature, which I love to bring back to. So like snowboarding, for example, it's the analogy that I used for that is like looking past the obstacles. So if you're looking directly at a pole, you're going to run into a pole.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the person who came out in front of you last second, you're going to run into them. And so don't look at that person or don't look at the pole, look past that, look towards your goal, look to the bottom of the hill where you're wanting to go. Otherwise you're going to run into those obstacles. And that can tie back to your life in a sense that like, if you're focused on your problems and the negativity in people, if you're so focused on the negative in people, that's all you're going to see. And that's, you're going to end up running into that and not reach your goals or get past that.
So how have you been able to implement that in your own life? Because it sounds all like good in theory, but...
Right. Or getting past the obstacles to get to your goals. Like working through money problems, for example. So like for me, it was fear that I was going to make more money than my mom, which is like the dumbest thing ever. But it's something that I worked through with my coach. So instead of focusing on like, oh no, my mom's going to be all of these things because I'm making more money, which is the problem I kept thinking about. It's like thinking about how proud she would be if I did make more money.
Like shifting that mindset.
Exactly.
About the experience that you're having.
Exactly. And so instead of focusing on that problem of like, oh no, she's going to be all these things, then just focus on the positive and focus on my goal instead of looking back at the past.
Yeah. Or all the barriers that are standing in your way that are preventing you from reaching that goal, or that could prevent you from reaching that goal.
Right.
Yeah, I love that. I'm all about those metaphors and analogies and the way that our experiences outside tie back to us. And I want to hear more about this relationship that you've cultivated with the outdoors. Because obviously, like, your husband, Kyle, is super into the outdoors, and we've gone on backpacking trips and stuff together. How has that changed your life?
It's definitely given me a positive, something to focus on, besides being the victim and being all of these things. It gives me a healthy outlet to, like, they talk about, like, in high school, right? They talk about, like, healthy coping mechanisms and, like, sleep and all of these things can be healthy coping mechanisms. Mm-hmm. So I guess it just gives me a healthy way to work through that and really move my body and get out of my comfort zone is a huge thing. Because, I mean, nature can be scary.
Yeah.
And if you have anxiety, I feel like that's, like, two times more scary than everyone else. At least two times.
At least.
So if you hear a noise in the middle of the night, it's automatically a bear, right?
Yeah, 100%. It's actually a family of bears. They've come to feast on you.
Yeah, 100%.
100%.
But someone without anxiety might be like, oh, there's a twig outside, you know?
Yeah.
I think it just amplifies that. And so it really gives me a place where I can like work through and push through boundaries and test myself and push myself in a healthy way.
Well, it's almost like, I mean, having spent so much of your life feeling unworthy, not enough, all this really dark self-esteem, this really negative self-esteem, shifting that to being like, damn, look what I can do. Like, yeah, it's terrifying. I'm scared out of my mind and I'm going to do it and I'm going to work through it. And maybe I'm not going to do it alone. Like, I have these people in my life that are going to go with me and support me and hold space for me in the process of it. And at the end of the day, be able to think about how badass I am.
100%. And I think on top of that, it's like, I mean, I've lost weight, right? But that was never the goal. It was never my goal to go outside and lose weight. Mental health in that, I guess it's like, yeah, like I have accomplished things in the outdoors and I have hiked and done all these cool things. And it's cool when other people recognize that too. Not that it's needed, but you get like that external validation too.
Yeah. I mean, it feels good.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely not that it's needed. I think that the way that you found to internally validate yourself, all that external validation is just like a bonus.
Right.
So what have been your biggest accomplishments outside?
That is a good question. I mean, I think every time that I accomplished something new, like the first time I went backpacking, like that was my biggest accomplishment. And then the first time I went through a slot canyon, because that was terrifying to me, was an accomplishment. And so I wouldn't say there's like one massive thing that I've done outside that I'm like super proud of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I'm proud of all of them. So it's not like one massive thing that I've done that's better than everything else that I've done. It's like every time that I push myself and reach those limits and then push those, that is like the next big thing. So I don't think that I've done like my biggest accomplishment outside.
I love that though. I think it's so important to have all those, not small, but like regular, like you're always accomplishing something. It's not like, oh, I accomplished this big thing and now I can never match it. It's I'm trying something new and I'm going to accomplish the hell out of that. And then I'm going to move on to the next new thing.
Right.
Or maybe I really like this thing that I accomplished and I want to keep doing that and finding new ways to challenge myself within that.
Absolutely.
So if you had to pick an accomplishment, let's just say from like the last year, what's something that you accomplished last year that really felt like empowering to you?
So, I mean, I guess it was kind of outdoors. Not really. Okay. So we'll just go.
You can't talk about it. This is an outdoor podcast.
Okay. Bye. Okay, so last year I did a coaching course where I learned how to be a coach. I did a master coach thing. And I broke through a board, which was like half inch thick. It was like a legit board.
Like the things you see in movies.
Yeah, exactly. And that was one of those things where it's like, don't look at the problem. Don't look at the board. Look through the board. Look at the floor. Like your goal is to go all the way to the floor. So don't pay attention to the board. And at that moment when I broke through the board, it was like, I took like 3 minutes to like gain the courage to do it. And in that moment, it was like, what else have I been holding? Like, that was the easiest thing I've ever done. Like, I didn't even feel a board when I broke through it. And I was like, what else have I been holding myself back from doing? And so the outdoors part of that, I guess, is I went to the ropes course with you like 2 or 3 weeks later. And we were doing the one where you jump off the thing.
It's called the Leap of Faith. So there's a thing. So I, as a recreation therapist, part of my job entails working at a ropes course. We have a lot of different like initiatives and activities and high ropes things you can do. And one of them is this leap of faith. And so it's this telephone pole. You climb to the very top and you just stand on top of it. So it's super terrifying. Like you don't think it's going to be, but it's like really wobbling and shaky up there. And then you have to jump to like a trapeze. Is that what they're called? Trying to think of like a bar basically that's maybe 15, 20 feet in front of you. I don't know. I'm not good with measurements, but that sounds right. It's a far way in front of you and just with nothing but ground beneath you. I mean, you're attached to like ropes and stuff. So like, you're not just hope you grab the bar and don't fall to your death. Like, but anyway.
Yeah. So in that moment where we were like getting ready to go up, people are like, who wants to go first? And I was like, me 100% because of all of the, like that mindset of like, what else have I been holding myself back from? Like, if I can break through a board, I can jump off of a pole. I didn't get to the trapeze thing, but I got up there and I did the damn thing and I jumped. And so that was like an accomplishment for me, just being like, did I know that people were going to catch me? Yes. But at the same time, it's like, what if something did go wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just in those moments, like, you can't think about like the what if something goes wrong. And so I would say that was a big accomplishment just in that I didn't hesitate. I was just like, yep, me, going.
I think being able to embrace that fear and like not let it control you. I think that's something I know I personally struggled with as well. Is like I let a lot of things in my life be dictated by my fear.
Right.
And that fear of not being loved, fearing not being enough, but also like fear of failure, fear of being seen, fear of literally everything. You name it, that fear, I felt it. And instead of saying, cool, I'm going to do it anyway, obviously not risking my own physical safety. Like,
right.
Don't just like, if there's a bunch of piranha shark infested waters and you're scared of it, that's probably a good thing, right? Because in its very nature, fear is emotion designed for survival.
Yes.
Right? If you go back to caveman times, like we needed fear to stay alive.
Right.
And then now we're in whatever century. Is it 21st, 28th?
What 21st century.
20-something century. Wherever we are, it's 2022 or something. And we have a lot of things in our life that allow us to feel safer, yet there's still this fear in us. That cortisol is still running through us.
There's so much now, though, that triggers fear that we never would have dealt with as cavemen.
That's very valid.
So, like, a car accident, for example, or in, like, relationships or, and I mean, obviously cavemen dealt with relationships, right? That was all they had.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you come out of a relationship that maybe wasn't the best. And now you're terrified to get into a new relationship when that relationship's healthy. And then you end up pushing those people away or you end up not being able to connect or trust these people who you should be able to because of your past fear.
Yeah.
So there's, in those moments, it's like, what have I, what have my clients, what have everyone around me held themselves back from because of one or two things that have happened that made them scared of even success.
Yeah, 100%. I think for me, when it comes to fear, and I'm curious if this is something that you do as well as I have anxiety and I struggle with that self-doubt and the fear and all the different things, fill in the blank, I'm afraid of it. And I've learned to kind of talk to my fear, and it might sound weird to some people. And what I mean by that is like asking my fear questions, I guess. Like, is this going to kill me? Is what I'm afraid of actually going to kill me? It might feel like it. I'm a dramatic person. And so if you're like, with the relationship component, it's terrifying. And it might feel like I might physically die if I get in another relationship because the pain of losing a relationship, and it's embarrassing and all these emotions, but I most likely won't.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, for me, that's where the lean in is. That's where the jumping off the platform and the breaking through the board is. It's like, this fear is there and it's real and I feel it, and it hurts and it's hard and it's not going to kill me.
Yeah.
So let's go through that fear and see what happens.
Yeah.
And maybe it's an awful experience. And then I'm like, oh shit. Well, I guess I was right to be afraid of that. Cool. I learned.
Exactly.
Maybe I break through that fear and it's the most empowering, incredible, beautiful, amazing thing that I've ever experienced. Like, oh my gosh, I'm sure there. I mean, you've talked about breaking a board and going through slot canyons and stuff, like things that terrify you. And you're just, I don't know, for me, I'm just like, damn, that was an incredible experience. Let's do that again.
Yeah, that's come up a lot lately in things that I've consumed, I guess.
Mm.
That like talking to your fear or talking to your negative emotions and just being like, hey, anxiety, what's up? Like,
yeah.
How are you doing today? You know, and like making that into a tangible thing instead of like, oh my God, I'm dying because my heart rate's elevated and I'm sweating and I feel like I'm going to throw up. Then you're like, okay, this is a familiar feeling. I know what this is. What can I help you with? Anxiety or fear or whatever it may be. So that's super interesting that you brought that up, because that's been coming up a lot for me lately.
Well, and I just want to clarify, like, so I've worked a lot in the treatment of anxiety-based disorders. And one of the key components is embracing that uncertainty.
Yeah.
Anxiety-based disorders in their very nature demand certainty. We want to know what's going to happen, how it's going to happen. And we're scared of it because we don't know. We don't have those answers. And so if we can have a conversation with our fear and not necessarily try and convince ourselves that everything is going to be okay, because that's going to do the exact opposite of what we want in this situation, but to have a conversation and almost like learn a little bit about the risk associated with this fear. Is it going to kill me? Is it going to harm me or somebody else? Ask those questions, think that through, and then say, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to try it. You didn't know that you were going to get through that board when you pushed through it. You didn't know that you weren't going to, that the walls of the slot canyon were going to crumble in on you, or that that you were going to plummet to your death on the leap of faith, right?
Right.
And we can't demand certainty in our lives and expect ourselves to move through fear in a way that will actually benefit us, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And I think playing worst case scenario is awesome.
Yeah.
Then it's like, really, what is the worst case scenario? I die, but I'm dying doing something I love, right?
Yeah.
Or something that, like, I'm pushing through these things that I wouldn't have a life otherwise if I didn't push through the fear. I wouldn't have a relationship. I wouldn't have my business. I wouldn't have all these things because I'm terrified.
Yeah. Well, and not just playing the worst case scenario, but the best case scenario too.
Right.
Like, give yourself both sides of that. I don't know what one's going to come up. I don't know what I'm going to get when I move through this fear. This is the worst thing that can happen. This is the best thing that can happen. All right. That best thing's pretty freaking rad. I'm going to go for it.
And I think it's important too, to ask yourself, what's going to happen if I don't do it?
Oh,
if I don't push through it, if nothing changes, nothing changes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something to add in there that's important.
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, you talked about breaking through that board and you mentioned a couple times the slot canyon. What was that like, going in a slot canyon? I don't think I knew that you were terrified of going in a slot canyon.
Oh yeah. Terrified.
So is it just like claustrophobia?
Yeah. I'm claustrophobic, just like the feeling of not being able to get out if something happened, right? So one of my like biggest anxieties is like, I'm going to have a heart attack and, like, medical professionals aren't going to be able to get to me. And it's, like, the most unreasonable fear because I don't have any health issues at all.
Yeah.
But that's just, like, anxiety, right? So that's, like, worst case scenario, these people can't get to me. Or it starts raining and it floods or something to that extent. And honestly, in those moments, you have to just not think about it. Because, or think of, like, okay, this is a familiar feeling, right? Anxiety is familiar. It's not a heart attack because I've never had a heart attack before, so I wouldn't know what that feels like.
Right.
And so it's really focusing on, like, I'm here, I'm present, and nothing is killing me.
Yeah. Yeah, that being present. Because anxiety is living in everywhere but the present. So when you can just be like, all right, here I am. This is scary. That's okay. And I'm doing it. Wow, this is cool. All right. Was it cool? Did you actually like it?
It was cool, yeah.
Would you go to another Slot Canyon?
Yeah.
You would?
100%, yeah.
Hell yeah, let's go.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
All of our trips this summer are going to be Slot Canyons now that I know this. So we've talked a lot about accomplishment and overcoming fear and navigating that by looking past these obstacles, like shifting that perspective. Would you say that those are the greatest things that you've learned outside, or is there something else that stands out to you?
So I think my relationship with myself and my relationship with my husband has been, I mean, they go hand in hand, right? So if my relationship gets better with myself, it gets better with everyone around me.
Yeah.
But it's really about, like, finding who I am and what my desires are. And I think the outdoors helps with that. There's no distractions in the outdoors. Like, you have to face your shit when you're out there.
Yeah, 100%. And you kind of touched on that earlier.
Yeah.
Talking about, like, moving your body, and it's raw and it's vulnerable, and you learn a lot about yourself and a lot about the people you're with when you're, you know, 10, 20, 30 miles in the backcountry and you don't have cell service and you've been hiking all day and everything hurts and you're hungry.
Yeah.
Right?
Always hungry.
Always, always hungry. So what would you recommend to yourself, like, 10 years ago? Starting this journey. And maybe that's about, like, connecting with the outdoors and, like, that part of it. But we've talked a lot about, like, mental health and navigating through those traumas.
Yeah. So I actually wrote a letter to myself 10 years ago self. It was in a journal that I had. And the biggest thing that I would tell myself is to not worry so much about what everyone thinks. Not worry about it. Not put so much worth in myself based on what other people think.
What I hear you saying is just letting yourself be you without having any, like without putting yourself in a box, because Sally Sue thinks that, oh, you are carrying too much backpacking weight, or Timmy Tommy, I don't know why these are the names, but Timmy Tommy, damn him, thinks that you look like a fool when you're sharing your story, or that Billy Bobby Joe thinks that.
These are awesome names.
I know, it's hard to be serious and get to the point. No, but listen. But what other people think, what all of their opinions are, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. And I think so many people, especially myself, like, oh my gosh, imposter syndrome galore doing this podcast and all of these other things, even going outside, like getting on a trail. I mean, like, I hike big hikes and I still feel that way sometimes on the 5-mile loop over by my house. Like, what are people going to think? And what if I make a fool of myself somehow? I should just stay inside and not go on a hike anyway.
Right. Yeah, I think that's huge in the outdoors too, where people are like, and other people judging people for, like, oh, they're wearing too much gear, or they're not wearing enough gear. And it's like, but they're outside and they're doing what they love. So just leave them alone. And then the people who are, like, getting that backlash for whatever reason, don't give those people the opportunity to make you feel like shit or make you feel like you don't belong.
Yes.
Yeah. You belong wherever you want to be.
Oh, 100%. Well, and I think there's this really fine line, and we see a lot of this. I mean, I see a lot of it in the mental health community, but I also see a lot of it in the outdoor community of shaming people that are learning and offering education and insight. Get out there and do it, but do it safely. If someone's coming at you and be like, F you stupid idiot, that sounds like Billy Bob Sue or whoever it was I was talking about. You don't need to take that on. That's not yours. That's whatever they're dealing with. And what I think is so important to listen to is the, hey, I noticed that your pack wasn't fitting you correctly or
absolutely
something like that. Can I help you fix it? And there are those people out there, but I think we get really jaded. I know I've been really jaded by a lot of experiences, like both in the mental health and in relationships too. Like we have a bad experience with one person and somehow it bleeds into everybody else. And that's right. Just not simply reality.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
All right. So what then is adventure to you? What does it mean to you?
Adventure is vulnerability, I think. Vulnerability of nature, of the trail, of the people you're with, of yourself.
That's incredible. I think that's my favorite one so far. Sorry, everybody else that I've talked to. This has been an incredible conversation, and thank you so much for joining me and telling your story of, you know, beyond the outdoors, like who you are as a person. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I had fun.
Yay! I hope today's episode helped you find the inspiration and courage to get outside and define your own adventure. If you like the podcast, please don't forget to subscribe, follow, and leave a review on whatever platform you're listening on. I'll be back next week with more stories from the trail. Until then, adventure on!